Hey, welcome to the Hold the Line podcast. I am in Phoenix, Arizona with one of my amazing friends, Carrie Lake. Guys, we are so excited. Thank you for coming on.
I'm so happy to
be here.
We're
here in your home state.
Yes.
And I was just remembering today that I kicked off the new year worshiping with you and thousands of other people in Arizona.
I forgot that. So much has happened since since December 31st.
Yeah.
That was the greatest way to ring in the new year. I've rung in the new year every way possible, from an at-home party, going to some event where you pay too much money and you dress up and you're cold, traveling. I've literally done it all in my 54 years. I honestly must tell you, that was the most invigorating, perfect way to ring in the new year.
Wow, that's
and
amazing.
Especially 2024, where we know we're going to need backup.
Totally, yeah.
We're going to need God with us. And
Amen.
So it was really special.
That's awesome. Well, it was so good to have you there. And, you know, it was really cool about that. I felt like Arizona was so significant, right? So for us to gather in Arizona and worship at the turn of the new season, it felt like it was like God was putting us on the front of the battle, you know? And, you know, in the Old Testament, it says, send Judah first, send the worshipers ahead. I felt like that was what we were doing, was we were preparing the way for God to move this year across America. And then we released that album that we recorded that night, and it went number one.
Oh, good.
So for a week, it was, you know, listened to number one across the world, which is just very cool.
And we were listening to great Christian music on the way home from that.
Yeah.
We were so invigorated and ready for whatever is in front of us.
Come
and
on.
We don't know what's in front of us.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people predict this year is going to be very rough and tumble,
right.
Difficult times ahead.
Right.
I'm ready. I know that God has put us here.
Amen.
He's equipped us.
Yeah.
The very fact that we're here, that means that God believes we're equipped for this moment. And so it was just a great way to kind of get us ready to go.
Yes.
This next year is going to be a challenge, and we're ready to go. And
Amen.
I loved starting the year that way. Thank you for coming.
It was so fun. And we're getting ready to worship on a mountain top tonight in Phoenix, which is going to be good. Let's start with this. I mean, people, obviously, they know you. They know your bold stance. They know your mama bear anointing, if I could call it. How did you meet Jesus? How did this all happen? And then maybe just give us a small picture of what got you into this mess that you're in right now.
That's a great way to put it. It is kind of a mess. But you know, we're all in this mess together. Some of us are like actively in it, and we're up to our earlobes in the mud. And some of us are just on the sidelines going, I'm going to step into it, which I encourage everybody to. I think my path to my religion started when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the youngest of nine. My mom was Catholic. My dad was Lutheran. And so we kind of had, at the time, that was like a really different, that was almost marrying Catholic and Lutheran when my parents got married was like marrying somebody from a different planet.
Wow.
It was frowned upon.
Wow.
And now you're happy if your child married somebody who believes in God, you know?
Wow.
And you hope they worship Jesus.
Yeah.
So I got a little bit of Catholic, a little bit of Lutheran. I was confirmed both as a Catholic and a Lutheran, which was a little bit confusing, but I've been a woman of faith. I've always been, ever since I was little, I felt a connection to God. I mean, I felt like when I prayed and got down on my knees with my grandma before we went to bed, I felt the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Didn't know what it was, but I felt it. And when I was a kid, I talk about this in my bio. I put out a bio video where I was about 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those days my parents said, go outside and play. And don't come back in until it gets dark, because we want the kids out of the house. And I was laying in our yard, and it was a really big yard in the middle of Iowa, rural part, and I saw a plane going overhead, and I said, someday I'm going to be on a plane going somewhere. I remember thinking that, and I felt the Holy Spirit. I didn't know it at the time. It was just God telling
me,
wow, you are going to be on a plane, and you're going to go somewhere. You're going somewhere, and you're going to do something big.
Wow.
I didn't know what that meant, but it was like a feeling that came over my whole body. I've had it a few times since then, and all I can say is God was speaking to me, and he said, you're going someplace, you're going to do something. Well, fast forward, I end up in broadcasting, news broadcasting. I worked really hard. We came from nothing, and I ended up in a dream career as a news broadcaster in Arizona. During COVID, I had almost my own personal revival and epiphany that my career was falling, was collapsing, and I was being forced to read lies, and I realized what I'm reading and what I'm putting out is not truthful, and I'm not willing to do that.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I was coming back to my faith.
Wow.
I was like, I told my husband, who's here in the studio, we got to get our butts back in church. We got to get our whole family back right now. I was reading the Bible again for the first time. I was in my 50s. I hadn't read it since I was in confirmation at 14.
Wow.
There's a bit of a difference in life experience from 14 to 50. And it was like overwhelmed with, oh my gosh, where has this been?
Right.
Why have I not come to this sooner?
Right.
And during all of that, deciding to leave my career, reading the news, which I was now recognizing as lies, and during the commercial break, reading the Bible, which I was now going, oh my gosh, this is the truth, this is a lie. And during that time, our church that we belonged to was closed. It was by appointment only during COVID.
Yeah.
And we ended up finding another church. And this was an evangelical church that I walked into alone the first time. I didn't take the family with me. And I just never have felt a closer relationship with Jesus.
Wow.
With Jesus.
Wow.
And I got home, I told my husband about it, and I said, you don't have to go. I know this is a mega church. It's kind of foreign to somebody who came up as a Lutheran or Catholic.
Right. Yeah.
But this is life-changing what I'm experiencing. And my husband, the next Sunday, put his his suit coat on and his tie on. We went together, and the next weekend we brought our kids, and it was a life-changing moment.
Wow.
I've never felt closer to Jesus and the worship music. And boy, am I glad that happened. I think that all of the strife we're going to is really to bring people closer to God.
Yeah.
I want to save our country, and I think at the end of the day we will, but I want to save souls.
Yeah.
The point is, what is our salvation?
Yeah.
And if we are sending and pushing people, not pushing, if people are drawn to God during this time, we're winning.
Right.
Period.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because my first experience, with you and getting to do worship at one of those campaign events before your election for governor here in Arizona, I felt like there was an awakening. I think people waking up politically, like you had during COVID, but there was also a spiritual element there, that was very strong, and I don't know. I mean, you came and spoke and then left, but like we continued to worship, and it almost felt like I closed my eyes and I'm like, this is not a campaign service or a campaign event. This is a church service. Like I had one of those moments where I was like, this is a church service. Like what? And I could feel God's presence. And then I remember fast forward, being with you at the Super Bowl in Arizona last year.
We've had a lot of big moments together.
At halftime. And we connected, and you were praying about what to do next, and we missed the whole halftime show, which was good, probably.
Well, during the halftime show, while we were talking,
right,
and just enjoying each other's company and praying, and we brought a lot of other people into prayer, which is so cool. When you're around Sean, you're always praying. And, I mean, honestly, we can't pray enough at this point.
Yeah.
Somebody goes, you're trending. And I go, wait a minute, Rihanna's out there. The Super Bowl's going on. I'm trending. I didn't realize that apparently I did something that made me trend at the Super Bowl.
I remember
that. You know what
that.
I did? I sat down, but stood up for the American National Anthem.
Right.
And apparently that was controversial.
Oh, it's all controversial. Yeah. It was ridiculous.
If you're not controversial right now, you're probably not doing
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, people know that. I mean, you got to definitely be
swimming
upstream.
You're right. There was something about our campaign. It was so grassroots. It was so of the people, for the people, by the people, that when what happened in our election happened, it was painful for me.
Yeah.
I mean, we worked really, personally worked hard.
Yeah.
My family, the people on my team worked hard.
Right.
I felt more for the people.
Right.
The disservice, the injustice inflicted.
Well, and I was actually here like a few days before that, in 2020 and in 2022. It's interesting, I'm always for some reason here right before those elections, and I remember thinking, man, the tide's gonna turn, da 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 da. Well, then fast forward, we're at the Super Bowl halftime and you're praying about what to do and how to move forward, and I kept seeing you like in the Senate. I just kept, and I'm there in DC quite a bit. I'm worshiping in those buildings. Like, we have another worship thing happening tomorrow night.
I love that.
And I'm with U.S. senators, sitting U.S. senators, worshiping, and I'm always praying, God, send in, like, revival people here.
Yeah.
Like remove, and I could go into my own issues about, you know, how it's like the U.S. Senate has become like a nursing home of people that are, but I just was like praying, God, send people. And then we have that divine encounter. And then, of course, now you're on the road that you're on.
Yeah.
But I feel like what you're doing is you're also giving so many other people permission, right? It's a season where it's like, people need to push beyond the labels. Like, I get labeled everything, a white supremacist, a Christian nationalist, everything. But pushing past the labels brings freedom to so many other people. You know,
That's
and I think that they're emboldened when they see your campaign, what you're doing, and they see what's happening in the government, and they see what they're like, we need somebody in there that loves God, that's going to fight for America, that loves our families, you know.
Who's not afraid to have terrible things said about them.
Yeah.
You know what? My mom used to say, and my grandma, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. Words can hurt, they can sting a little bit, but you can move beyond that.
Right.
And we have to be willing to have terrible things said about us. I mean, for goodness sakes, Jesus showed us that.
Right.
Jesus showed us that. And if we're not willing to say, oh, what are we going to tell our grandkids someday, our great-grandkids?
Right.
What, you know, God forbid we don't stand up and we don't fight for this country and we lose it. When our great-grandkids say to us, why didn't you fight harder to save this great country we hear about called America? Are you going to say, because they said bad things about me? Oh, they canceled me. My social media got, you know, taken away from me.
Right.
I'm not willing to have that. I want the conversation to be, thank you, Granny, for everything you did to save America. We are so thankful that we still have our freedoms and our God-given freedoms.
Amen.
And our liberty. So
and
when somebody stands up and does something courageous, it's contagious. Yeah. It's contagious.
That's the Billy Graham quote. When a brave man takes a stand of courage, it stiffens the spines of everyone else.
Yes. You know? And I'm sensing that there are some spines stiffening up right
now. Well, and my prayer is this cycle, and I want to talk about your race and just what your vision is and what you see God doing in America. But, you know, my prayer is that we can see these 20 million evangelicals that are sitting on the sidelines, you know, which is basically what we have right now. So when you break down the data, because I did during my congressional run, you have 60% of evangelicals, which is the largest voting bloc in America, right?
Wow, yes.
60% of 60% of the eligible ones are the only ones that are registered to vote.
Okay.
So out of the 100% that are eligible, only 60% of those are registered. Okay?
So 40% are not registered.
Yeah, and then 50% of that 60% are the only ones that vote in a presidential election.
We got to change that.
So you have the largest voting bloc in America. You have people whining about the country and the way it's going and what's happening with the border and what's happening with, you know, with the economy and what, you know, but yet at the same time, inflation, all these issues, but yet they're not even engaging in the process to vote. And so what is your encouragement to those people, hopefully from this?
Okay. I mean, you can go real basic and say your life was better 4 or 5 years ago than it is now, but let's look at this country. There's no other country like this one where we do have God-given liberties and freedoms. And I think I just said it. We're leaving a country for our children and grandchildren. This is a country that still, even though the First Amendment is hanging by a thread, free religious freedom. There's no other country like this, and we have to have that. And it's time for us to stand up and be strong. And I think as Christians, we have a duty to do that. The Bible calls for us to do that. And we need to get political. We need to speak out. If that means we're persecuted, I think we have a pretty good example of somebody who was persecuted. And I think this is the time to do that. So I don't know if I have the magic words other than imploring for people for the sake of our country that I believe God had a hand in creating. You know, those 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, the fear they must have faced, the You know, they didn't have social media. It was not like they were on a text thread with everybody going, yeah, we're going to sign the declaration tomorrow and we've got an
army. Get hype.
Yeah, you didn't even know if anybody was with you.
Right.
You were looking at your family, your children, your wife, and saying, I got to do something to make sure that we are not living under this tyranny. And so I don't think that those men were placed in this great nation by accident. And I don't believe we were either. And I know that we're at a moment, a pivotal moment, where we either keep this country and the great freedoms, the God-given freedoms we have, or we lose it.
Yeah.
And as Reagan said, we are plummeting into 1,000 years of darkness. So I'm willing to do anything, work as hard as I can, give more, more, more. And I just ask that, do the simple thing, register to vote and vote. And you might be one of those people who says, I don't know, I've watched the elections the last few rounds and they're not very good. They're not very secure. I met somebody in Texas in the last couple of weeks, 75-year-old man. He said, Carrie, I've pretty much given up. I wasn't going to vote again. I've watched too many elections just be the rug pulled out from underneath us, too much corruption.
Right.
And you just gave me hope to get up and fight again.
That's good.
I think we have about 8 months, and I'm not a doomsdayer. Yeah. But I really think we have about 8 months to save our country. And I just ask that everybody in this next 8 months do everything you can.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's asking too much to get registered to vote. If you need help, go to CarrieLake.com. At the top, it says register to vote. You can do that.
I love that. I feel like I feel like the word for this year, I mean, obviously zeal for the house of the Lord is something we're meditating on. But also this idea of the joyful warrior, right?
Yes.
Because I know for me, sometimes I get on these conservative, channels, and it's just it's just all the time banging your head against the wall. And I'm like, hold on, God's in a good mood and he's on the throne and he has a plan for us, right?
Yes.
So how do we stay in that posture? This is one of my questions to you. How do we stay in that posture of the optimism of heaven, I guess you could call it, right? Because heaven knows no defeat.
Mm-hmm.
Like all heaven knows is the will of God, it's perfect, it's going to happen. How do we carry that optimistic perspective? How does that filter into the way that we fight for America?
I get asked, or I get told a lot, you give me hope. You make me feel like we're going to get through this. And that's because I truly, with 100% of my being, believe that. Because I believe that God is truly in charge. He's in control. And so if I can give people hope, that's great. But we also have to do the work. God is using us to do his work here on earth, and we're going to do that for him. I just believe that at the end of the day, we win this. And, I don't have the magic words to tell you other than if you are a person of faith, then you must already know that. You already know that. And we have to do every step we can while we're here to make sure that we are making the steps needed for God's plan on earth to come to fruition. And so I don't necessarily have all the great words. I love zeal. One thing I do tell people is when you get wrapped up in the negativity of what's happening, because, you read the news, the news, you go, oh my gosh, how can it get much worse?
Right.
I really, every day when I'm in the middle of all of this insanity and it does feel insane, I say, thank God I'm here. How that our Heavenly Father thinks high enough of us, highly enough of us to put us here at this moment. Take all of this in, look at it from a perspective of not like being in the mud, but stepping back and looking at it from a different perspective and saying that you are here for this historic moment is so amazing.
Come on.
You know, I wonder sometimes what our founding fathers felt. Were they awake at three? I'm sure they were awake at 3 a.m. They were fighting probably. They were fighting the British at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
But they didn't realize from a different perspective of looking at it from a historical perspective, how special they were.
Right.
They were more caught up in the realness of the pain and the suffering and the difficulty. So I try to pull back the pain, suffering, and difficulty, wash that away and say, I'm so glad I'm part of a historic moment.
Amen.
And that God placed us here for this moment. We're so lucky. I'm glad to be here.
And you're totally right. I wrote this, I was looking for something that I wrote earlier when you were talking. But I wrote earlier today on Twitter, we can't afford to live lives where we underestimate God and overestimate evil.
That's a great
And
line.
I feel yes. like in America right now, that's the, and this is why I love worship so much, right? We're going to 22 more capitals, right? We've already done 28.
So amazing.
We got 22 more capitals and we're ending in Washington, D.C. 9 days before the election on the National Mall, the biggest worship event in the nation's capital will be happening. Let us worship October 25th. So mark it down.
That's
26th.
Huge.
So
that's,
mark it down. Yeah. But we cannot afford to live lives where we underestimate God and overestimate evil. And I feel like we're because of all these court cases and this corruption and these indictments and all this stuff, we're overwhelmed by corruption and evil. And it's almost like we're more in tune with that than we are God's ability to overcome that. You know,
I
feel like that's what we need to tap into right now in America. And while I'm on that thread, I hear some speaking about hope. Here's some hope for you. I did some deep diving with my DC people that run all the polls.
Okay.
This is a poll you have not seen. This is a poll that no one's seen.
Okay.
This is a poll from 10 days ago. That's an internal poll on your race. And right now, I mean, this is super reliable.
Okay.
Right.
That people don't get the internal polling is the good stuff.
This is internal polling. That's not public stuff. And it helps determine where these guys put their money.
Yeah.
And these are guys that put their money places. So they said, cause I asked them, I was like, I'm going to do this, interview with Carrie. You got to give me the update. They're like, all right, you can tell her this, but
I'm bracing myself.
So here we go. So here it is. On your poll, you got 42%. Who's the guy?
Gallego.
Gallego is 31 and Cinema's at 17.
Whoa.
So they have you right now 11 points up, which is huge.
I believe that. You know, a lot of pollsters now, because we've been burned in elections, you know, going into the governor's race, I was 10 and 12 points up.
Right.
And then the pollsters go, you know, we saw what happened in Arizona. They shut down election day, for goodness sake. So the pollsters then get skittish and they go, well, we know she's 10 points up. Let's just say she's 2 points up because we don't want to look like we're wrong.
Right.
I care about what the voters believe and what the voters are going to do and what the voters are supporting. And I know, I feel it. I'm with them every day. They're with us.
Yeah.
They're with President Trump because they know that we're fighting for America and we have to continue fighting. The devil is working. Evil is working. When those stolen elections were meant to make us feel like we have been beat down and there's no hope, and there is. We cannot sit here feeling wounded and not step forward and get active again.
I love it.
We can't let our country go because we got worried about the elections. We're going to do some things. There's going to be some changes here and there. Not enough. Obviously, we want fair elections. We want pure parity, pure fairness. We don't have that yet. But people are showing up in droves. If you're looking at and following politics, you're following the caucuses and the primaries.
Yeah.
And what we're learning about that is the record, mind-blowing, record-setting turnout that we're seeing in President Trump's primaries. That is a sign of things to come in this next election.
Right.
But we can't give up. My dad was a football coach. He said the only way to truly, for sure, fail is to quit.
Yeah.
And so there's no quit in us. Yeah. And we already know what the results are, that God is in charge, God is in control, and God wins.
Yeah, amen.
It's on his timing.
Amen.
And when you know that, then you're almost ashamed if you don't respect that and believe that. If you have a weak moment, just remember that.
Yeah, I love that. And I one of the last things Elijah did before he died, when he was cranky and ready to go, and he was angry because the prophet did not strike the ground enough times. And if you remember that story, it was like, strike the ground. Well, you should have struck it more than 3 times, 4 times, and 5 times, and 6 times. And I feel like that's a reminder to us. And I love your story because it's like, we're not quitting.
Yeah, no.
We're going to keep striking. You know, for us, we're going to keep going to capitals. We're going to keep gathering to worship. We're about to gather on a mountainside in Phoenix. We're not going to allow the corruptions and the scandals and the darkness dictate our future. You know, we're going to keep fighting. So I would love it.
Some of the powerful people who've been part of some of the corruption are starting to capitulate.
Yeah.
We're seeing it.
Oh, yeah.
If you're paying attention, we're seeing it. They see what's coming.
Yeah.
And they're starting to say, we're either going to be part of the solution to solving our problems in America and restoring what is true and good and moral, or right. we're going to be on the wrong side of history. I'm starting to feel like people who've not been with the right side of history are starting to go, oops, we better come around.
Amen.
I'm feeling it.
And along with that is the massive level of exposing, which we want to continue to happen.
I will say this though, if I may, I am working to bring people together. I know that there's a tendency when we've been done wrong to say, mm-hmm. okay, yeah. you're out and you're out for good.
Yeah.
I do believe in forgiveness. And yeah. when we win, I believe we will be victorious, right. we the people. We're going to need Americans to come on board.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I mean, there's some people who won't. They won't. Yeah. They're just too far gone. But those people who maybe haven't been with us all along, who are recognizing things are changing, I want to get on board. And that doesn't mean you have to bring them on your inner circle of trust.
Right. Yeah.
But I want to bring Americans together. I don't want to be at my fellow Americans' throats.
Yeah.
The media is doing everything they can right. to divide us, make us angry,
right.
make us afraid, isolated.
Right.
And a big part of the problem has been the media lying right. to us. Lying
well,
to
and them. the enemy. I mean, that's his job. His job is to bring dissension, the accuser of the brethren. I mean, this is what he yeah. does. This is how he works.
So I want to bring people together. We do need to see justice for some of the crimes committed.
Yeah.
But for those who haven't committed crimes, who just have been maybe opposed to us, opposed to America and our freedoms and liberties and what's right and moral, I do want to bring people together.
Yeah.
I really mean that, and I think we can.
Yeah.
Together, we're so much more powerful.
I think we have to.
Yeah.
And I love that. That was one of the things I love that Trump has been saying lately is, you know, my vengeance is going to be success.
That's
which
right.
I think that's the sweet spot right there. Hey, before we end, we always have a prayer that's sent to
love
people
it.
As they're listening. Would you pray us out?
I would. We prayed us in before.
Yes.
My prayers aren't as good as yours, but I'm
oh, your prayers are awesome.
I'm just
going to
pray a humble prayer of gratitude. And
yes.
And sometimes, Almighty God, we don't say thank you enough. And I think the greatest prayer is just a thank you. Thank you for placing us here at this moment. We know that when we're here, we feel pain, we feel struggle, we worry. But when we cease to worry and we put our faith in you, which is where it lies, we know that you will get us through. I have faith in you. Sean does. I know everyone listening does. And just make sure you strengthen that for us so that when we have those dark moments, we remember you are with us. Your hand is on our shoulder. You had a hand in creating this great nation, and we are filled with gladness that you placed us here at this moment. Give us everything we need, and we ask for all of your grace, all of your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And hey, listen, go support Carrie. Get behind her campaign. Let's pray her in as the next amazing senator from Arizona. We would
Thank
love that.
You so
bless
much.
You guys. Thanks for listening.
God bless you.
God bless.